This is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Our 17th NFL Sunday is in the books, and now it's time to get to the No Huddle Offense.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Saturday night in Atlanta, there was a game a lot of people cared about. That was Georgia and Ohio State. Sunday in Atlanta, there was a game that basically no one cared about between the Falcons and the Cardinals. The Falcons win on a game-winning field goal by Younghoe Koo. It was a 21-yard attempt, and hear how it sounded by Wes Durham on Falcons Radio.
It is a 21-yard field goal for Younghoe Koo to give Atlanta its sixth win of the year. It is a right-to-left angle for Younghoe Koo. Liam McCullough will snap. Pinion spot. The kick is from Koo, and it is good. And Atlanta wins.
Desmond Ridder in the game, 19 of 26 for 169 yards. Still in search of his first touchdown. He does not have one in his first three starts of his NFL career. Tyler Allgeier, 20 carries for 83 yards and a score. And you got that Younghoe Koo game-winning 21-yard field goal for the Atlanta Falcons as they do improve to 6-10 on the season, and the Arizona Cardinals 4-12, and only one more game for the Cardinals this season before this miserable season comes to a close. Next stop, we go to Detroit. The Detroit Lions had an embarrassing performance last week up against the Carolina Panthers. They not only bounced back, but they bounced back in a big way. They were playing some angry football. Lions win 41-10, dominant on the ground, and a big reason because of that was DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. As they got touchdowns in this one, let's hear how that sounded on Lions radio.
On the Bears 17 with a first down. Goff up under center, single back behind him. DeAndre Swift takes the pitch left side, gets a block to the 10, cuts back at the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby, what a run that time. Second and goal from the 2 for the Lions. Goff up under center, single back Jamal Williams. Goff takes the snap, turns, gives to Jamal, bounces left, to the 1, to the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions.
So there you go for Detroit, 39 rushing attempts, 265 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 144 rushing yards, and that rushing score for Jamal Williams, 78 rushing yards and 11 carries for DeAndre Swift with the 1 rushing touchdown that you heard, and DeAndre Swift also found the end zone, 4 catches, 39 yards, and a receiving touchdown. Jared Goff continues to play stellar football, 21 of 29 for 255 yards, and not 1, not 2, but 3 passing touchdowns. Justin Fields, on the other hand, 10 carries, 132 yards. In the passing department, though, 7 of 21 for 75 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. The Lions have won 7 of their last 9 to improve to 8-8. They can clinch a playoff berth next week. Here's what's going to need to happen. They play on Sunday night. They may not have a chance on Sunday night because they could get eliminated because if Seattle beats the Rams, then they're out. So what the Lions need is for Seattle to lose or tie to the Rams, and then they need to beat Green Bay as well. Next stop, we'll go to Kansas City as the Chiefs did go up against the Broncos. Isaiah Pacheco, a 5-yard touchdown run. This is Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Mahomes under center with Pacheco, the running back. A trio of eligible receivers start left, but Pacheco gets it behind right guard, pushes in near the 1. Now grinding, driving. Pacheco, touchdown, Kansas City.
Chiefs to improve to 13-3. They could lock up the number 1 seed next week if Buffalo does lose tonight to Cincinnati. If Buffalo does not lose tonight to Cincinnati, then the Chiefs will have to win next week and have Buffalo go down to go get that number 1 seed. Buffalo next week does play the Patriots, but tonight they do play the Cincinnati Bengals. The Chiefs beat the Broncos for the 15th straight time. Kadarius Toney in the game, 4 receptions for 71 yards. You heard the rushing touchdown by Isaiah Pacheco. He had 9 carries for 31 yards. Patrick Mahomes, 29 of 42 for 328 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. And Patrick Mahomes joins Tom Brady and Drew Brees as the only quarterbacks with multiple 5,000-yard passing seasons. Let's go to Foxborough. Patriots and Dolphins, Kyle Duggar. He's the Patriots' best source of offense. He plays on the defense. Here's his third touchdown of the year. This is a pick six, and he went to the house 39 yards out. Here's Bob Soucy and the sounds of Scott Zolak on the Patriots Radio Network.
On a third and 15th snap, they rush four. Bridgewater is back to fire it right past. Oh. Intercepted by Duggar. Left to the 30, outside to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Duggar to the 5. Duggar to the end zone. He took it to the house again.
Here we
go. The Patriots take the lead.
Patriots snap a four-game losing streak, and they can clinch a playoff berth with a victory in Buffalo next week. Miami clinches, though, a playoff spot with a win versus the Jets, and they need a Patriots loss. Tyquan Thornton, 3 receptions for 60 yards. So the rookie wide receiver did have a touchdown as well. And Mac Jones, 20 of 33 for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns. Our next stop, we go to the swamps of Jersey, where all the New York football Giants had to do was get a win, and they'd be in the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Well, they did that. They crushed the Indianapolis Colts 38-10, and Daniel Jones, who is starting to look like he may be the guy in New York. Remember, he has Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins as his wide receivers, and he keeps on finding a way. Jones had 2 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. He'll be back next year with the Giants. They're going to have to pay him. Let's hear the 2 rushing scores for Daniel Jones, 1 of 18 and then another from 10 yards out. Here's Bob Papa on the Giants Radio Network as Big Blue is going to the playoffs.
Jones takes the snap. He's going to keep it and run around the left side. He's got a lead block. Jones to the 15. Jones to the 10. Jones to the 5. Shoulder. Did he get in? Yes. Touchdown, Daniel Jones. 18 yards. Play fake to Barkley. Jones rolls to his left. Gets a block from Thomas. He's to the 5. Jones races in. Touchdown, Giants. Second rushing touchdown for Daniel Jones. And let the party begin at MetLife Stadium.
The party did indeed begin right after that as the Giants are off to the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Daniel Jones, 19-24, 177 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and had 91 yards rushing on 11 carries in the 2 rushing scores that you just heard. Giants as a team ran for 217 yards. And how about Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins? They've had big weeks. Richie James, solid again, 7 for 76 in a score. Isaiah Hodgins, 4 for 42. And a touchdown. Let's go to Philadelphia. Eagles have now lost back-to-back games. They've had opportunities to clinch the NFC East and lock up the number one seed. No Jalen Hurts, and it's been a problem for them. Let's hear a Marshawn Lattimore 12-yard pick six to clinch the game. This is Mike Haas on the Saints Radio Network.
2 yards on that, 2nd and 8. Empty backfield now for Minshew. Takes the snap, throws a quick one, and that's picked off by Marshawn Lattimore. Pick six. Welcome back, Marshawn. That's how you do it. Happy New Year, baby.
Andy Dalton in the game, 18-22 for 204 yards. Did have an interception, no passing touchdowns. Taysom Hill had a rushing touchdown, 14 carries, 446 yards. Also completed 2 passes for 24 yards as well. Gardner Minshew, 18-32 for 274 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Next stop, we go to Tampa. Mike Evans did not score a touchdown this year since the first week of October. He had not one, not two, but 3 as Tampa Bay comes on back, and they had another epic fourth quarter comeback. This time, they win the NFC South as they take care of the Carolina Panthers by a final score of 30-24. Tom Brady in the game, 34-45 for 432 yards. And 3 touchdowns. Mike Evans of the NFC South clinching performance. 10 for 207 and 3 receiving touchdowns. We'll play you the 3 receiving touchdowns right now from 63 yards out, 57 yards out, and 30 yards out. Fire the cannons. Here's Gene Dekeroff on the Bucs Radio Network.
Brady throws a deep path toward Evans, near sideline. He makes the catch of the 10. 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Now, Mike Evans on full stride, and Brady with a rainbow throw. Fire the cannons. Brady kicks the shoulder, looks downfield, throws the ball down the right. He's got Evans. Evans makes the catch of the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans has 2 today. Is it Mike Evans' time, Dave, from the Carolina 30? First down, 10, Brady. takes the snap and looks toward his way. Throws toward Evans, toward the end zone. Evans, Andre Bay makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Evans has three. Fire the cannons. Fire them. Evans with a remarkable catch.
Two notes from the gambling world on this one. Heck of a job by Nick Costos yesterday from BetQL. He said before the game, take Mike Evans. Two touchdowns or more in the game. He gets three. So a great job to Nick Costos. And also, if you had the Panthers plus 3.5 yesterday, when this is 21-10 in the fourth quarter, you think you are definitely winning that game. And not even you think the Panthers are winning, but you think you bare minimum are going to cover. And Tampa Bay ends up winning 30-24 as you could throw that plus 3.5 point ticket in the basura. All right, next up, Browns and Commanders. Shame on me. I've been the biggest Carson Wentz critic. I have not believed in him for 4 years. And I thought Ron Rivera should have stayed with Taylor Ham Heineke. But when he went back to Carson Wentz, I said he's going up against the Browns, whose defense stinks, and they really have done nothing on offense since Deshaun Watson came back. And then the next week, he could have, at the time, be going up against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys maybe, depending on what happened yesterday, had nothing to play for. Now it's different with how it played out. The fact that I, out of all people who have been so critical of Carson Wentz, gave him the benefit of the doubt, shame on me. The Commanders not only lose yesterday, and I like Ron Rivera, but he didn't even know he could get eliminated from the playoffs, as he did have Green Bay beat the Vikings, but he did not know that in his post-game presser. They not only lost yesterday, they're not out of playoff contention. And Deshaun Watson just had a nice second half, but really the story was Carson Wentz, who had three interceptions in the game. But Deshaun Watson did have three passing touchdowns, 169 yards. Nick Chubb, 14 carries for 104 yards. Amari Cooper, 3 for 105 and 2 scores. And there were Commanders fans early chanting for Taylor Heineke in this game, but they never got him. Let's hear Amari Cooper get that touchdown catch from Deshaun Watson, 33 yards out. Here's Jim Donovan on the Browns Radio Network as the Browns defeat the Commanders 24-10.
Michael Woods and Amari Cooper near side to the right. One receiver out wide to the left. In the shotgun, it is Watson with Chubb on his right hip. From the Commander 33 with a play action fake. Watson up in the pocket, looking. Cooper's wide open. Caught it. 10. He's at the 5. He cuts to the pylon. Touchdown, Amari Cooper. His second of the day.
Next up, we go to Houston. Final home game for the Texans. And thank God you don't have to watch this football team really anymore after next week. Jaguars beat the Texans 31-3. Travis Etienne had a 62-yard rushing touchdown. This is Frank Frangie on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Jags start from their 38. They go left to right here. Inside handoff, Travis Etienne. He's into the open field, 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Travis Etienne.
Game meant nothing for Jacksonville, regardless of they won or lost, but they do win 31-3. Jaguars this week, they do go up against Tennessee. That game is on Sunday. Winner will clinch the AFC South. Travis Etienne in the game, 9 carries, 108 yards, and a touchdown. Trevor Lawrence, 17-21, 152 yards in the game. Next stop, 49ers and Raiders. Who would have ever thought this would be a game that would be going into overtime when Jarrett Stidham was starting? But Jarrett Stidham was awesome in the game, 23 of 34 for 365 yards. Did have two interceptions, but did have three passing touchdowns. And also added in 34 yards on the ground. Brock Purdy, rock out with your Brock out, baby. 22 of 35 for 285 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Christian McCaffrey runs CMC. We all know is healthy. 19 carries, 121 yards, and a score. And you got to give it up to Brandon Ayuk, who had 9 receptions in the game, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Let's hear Robbie Gould, who almost won the game before overtime. He finds a way to get the job done in OT as the 49ers win 37-34 in overtime. Here's Robbie Gould, the game-winning field goal. Greg Papa on the 49ers Radio Network.
23-yarder for Robbie right in the middle of the hashes. Tabor Pepper to Mitch Wishnowski. Robbie to win the game in overtime. He has it there, and it is good! The 49ers have beaten the Raiders in overtime. 37-34.
Next up, we go to Seattle, as I guess this was a revenge game for Geno Smith, but not really, because he got punched in the mouth by his own teammate when he was the Jets starting quarterback over something with the charity event. And then he forgot the time zones as well when he was a quarterback and was late. So I guess you could say a revenge game, but Seahawks beat the Jets 23-6. Geno Smith 19-21 for 183 yards and two touchdowns. Kenneth Walker, welcome back off the ankle injury, 23 carries for 133 yards. Seattle snaps a three-game losing streak. They can clinch a playoff berth with a win versus the Rams next week, and they're also going to need the Packers to lose to the Lions. But let's hear Kobe Parkinson have a 12-yard touchdown catch from Geno Smith. This is Steve Rabel on the Seahawks Radio Network.
Second down and nine, empty backfield for Geno. Four receivers across the board. Geno has time. He's going to throw in the back corner. Caught! Touchdown! Seahawks! What a start! Kobe Parkinson from 12 yards out runs a little bender into the back corner, and Geno lays it up perfectly.
Let's go to legendary Lambeau Field. If you went to this game and you're a Packers fan, you were screaming, go, Pack, go! All throughout the game, Packers defeat the Vikings. They just annihilated them 41-17. Green Bay now 8-8. Minnesota falls to 12-4. And if Green Bay wins next week against Detroit, they are in the postseason. That will be on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Alan Lazard, 5 receptions for 59 yards. Aaron Jones, 14 carries for 111 yards. Aaron Rodgers in the contest, 15-24 for 159 yards and a passing touchdown. Special teams got a kickoff return. Darnell Savage of the defense of the Green Bay Packers had a 75-yard pick six. Let's listen up to the Packers Radio Network.
So the Vikings go for it on fourth downs. Minnesota 8 of 17 this season, 47%, 21st in the league on fourth downs. Three receivers left, one to the right. Now Jefferson in motion to the right. Out of the shotgun with a setback to his right. Here's the snap to Kirk Cousins. He fires it over the middle, and it's broken up incomplete.
Intercepted
on the deflection. Picked off by Darnell Savage down the left side of the 40. He's got an escort to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers. My goodness.
Let's go out to L.A. It's the Battle of L.A. between the Chargers and the Rams. Where was there any local fan support at this one for either team? But Austin Eckler was on the Zach Gelb show last week, and now he was off to the races running for a 72-yard touchdown. Here is Matt Money Smith on the Chargers Radio Network.
Hand off to Eckler. Eckler hits the hole, and he's through to the 40, to the 50, to the 40. It's a foot race. 30, 20, 10. Austin Eckler, touchdown, Chargers. 72 yards, a new career long.
Austin Eckler just needed one more reception in this game to get to 100 on the season. Well, he got four for 39 out of the backfield, catching the football. And then he had 10 carries for 122 yards and two rushing touchdowns. Mike Williams made a spectacular one-handed catch in this game. 7 receptions for 94 yards. He led the Chargers in receiving. And Justin Herbert, a very efficient day at the office, 21-28 for 212 yards and two passing touchdowns. Baker Mayfield 11-19 for 132 yards. Cam Akers did get 19 carries for 123 yards. Rams on the ground, 26 carries for a 166 and a touchdown. Malcolm Brown had one carry for 23 yards and a score. And finally, Steelers Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Kenny Pickett does it again, and the Steelers now can make the playoffs with a win against the Browns next week. They'll need Miami to lose to the Jets and the Patriots to lose to the Buffalo Bills. But let's hear that game-winning touchdown pass from Kenny Pickett to Najee Harris. 10-yard strike. Here's Bill Hillgrove on the Steelers Radio Network.
Pickett in the gun. Empties the set. Third eight at the 10. Gets the snap. He looks. Chased out of the pocket. Steps out of a tackle. Throws it for the goal line. Touchdown, Najee Harris. Najee from 10 yards out, and Pickett did a Houdini to make that play possible. And the Steelers jump ahead of Baltimore.
Steelers still alive for the playoffs, as we just told you. Also, Mike Tomlin has never had a season below 500 as a coach. Now they are 8-8, so a win next week continues to keep that streak alive, which is remarkable because it wasn't that long ago, November 20th to be exact, against the Cincinnati Bengals, where the Steelers did lose 37-30, where this football team was 3-7. And that is your Week 17 No Huddle Offense.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. So They have finalized this Week 18 schedule in the NFL. I'll give it to you real quickly. On Saturday, you have a doubleheader. Chiefs and Raiders, number one seed implications, could be on the line for Kansas City. And then on Saturday night at 8:15 p.m. Eastern, you do have Tennessee and Jacksonville. Winner of that game goes into the postseason as AFC South champs. 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, Bucks and Falcons means nothing. Texans and Colts only mean something for draft positioning. Patriots-Bills will mean something if the Patriots win. They're in for Buffalo. Depending on what happens tonight, if they do win, then next week, if they get a victory, they control their own destiny for the number one overall seed in the AFC. Jets and Dolphins, game means nothing for the Jets, but it means something for Miami because if the Patriots lose to Buffalo, that game's also at 1 p.m. Eastern, and the Dolphins win, then the Dolphins will get into the postseason. Minnesota-Chicago means nothing, but that's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Well, for seeding, I guess, in the NFC. Panthers and Saints, that game now literally means nothing because the NFC South is wrapped up. So that's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Steelers still have a chance to make the playoffs. They have to get a win up against the Browns and then other things to go their way. But that game's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Ravens and Bengals will be either at 1 or 4:25 p.m. Eastern. I'm imagining, this is just going to be my guess, that if Buffalo defeats Cincinnati tonight, then that Baltimore-Cincinnati game is going to be at 4:25. But if Cincinnati defeats Buffalo, because then Cincinnati would win the North, then that game is going to be at 1 p.m. So that's the scheduling there. Eagles and Giants are at 4:25. Eagles win, they're the number one overall seed, and they win the NFC East. Chargers and Broncos at 4:25 p.m. as well. You have the Cowboys and Commanders at 4:25 p.m. Rams and Seahawks at 4:25 p.m., and you have the Cardinals and the 49ers at 4:25. McKeon, the Sunday night game is Lions and Packers. Now, I was talking about this on Eye on Football yesterday without fully knowing all the scenarios. And Jody right away said, well, if it's a win and you're in game for Green Bay, then that's going to be the Sunday night game just because it's Green Bay and it's Lambeau Field and it's the Packers. If the Seahawks win at 4:25, then the Lions are out. So do you find that risky for the NFL? Now, it will still mean something for Green Bay either way, but you get into one of those scenarios where maybe the Lions sit some people. But I got to imagine in that spot, you're the Lions. You are a team that's been bad. You've been having a good year. Even if you're eliminated from the postseason, sure. Does it take the air out of the balloon? Absolutely. But I think the NFL is banking that Dan Campbell bite off everyone's kneecap and drink 9,000 cups of coffee that he's not going to do what Doug Peterson, actually, let me change that, what Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman did a few years ago where the Eagles sat their starters in the second half and put Nate Sudfeld in the game when they were going up against the Commanders and gave the Commanders a berth into the postseason.
If Seattle loses that game, does that automatically give Green Bay a clinch? Does Green Bay automatically clinch?
No.
Because
if Seattle loses, then the winner of the Lions Packers game gets
in. Then it's just winner of Lions Packers at that point. So that's the scenario they're hoping for. The NFL's rooting for Seattle to lose.
But Seattle plays the Rams,
who stink.
The Rams have the most losses by a team after winning a Super Bowl. So I get it means something, I guess, for Baker Mayfield.
What's the game you'd put in otherwise, though? If it's not Packers,
would it be Tennessee Jacksonville? That's the.
Ugh.
Either winning, you're in, but ugh. You're right. It does have a stench on that game.
And yeah, both
they
those
probably
teams
made
stink.
The right call. They probably made the
Lambeau
right call.
Lambeau primetime Aaron Rodgers, that's the move.
I'm kind of hoping for snow in that game.
Right? That'll be awesome.
I like that kind of feel. Snow, Lambeau Field.
I said this to you prior to this, earlier on today. Is this the first Lions game like late in the season that you remember having any importance to it?
Well, I had a few of those teams with Calvin Johnson, but a few of those years they backed their way into the postseason. One of those years when they were 9-7, I think. They had another year where they were 11-something wins.
But it was never like this, where there's an importance, like a primetime spot for the Lions, and it's crazy. I mean, I say what you want. That Ram trade, everyone looked at it with Stafford and Goff and how the Rams—
Rams won a Super Bowl.
They won the trade, for sure. But the Lions might have backed themselves into a franchise quarterback with that move, too.
So Goff this year is playing exceptional football. If you're sitting there early in the draft because of how bad the Rams are and you're Detroit—
no, I don't think so.
What happens if Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud are still available?
They're not going to be that far down in the draft anyway. Yeah, those guys are going to be gone by that point.
No, not necessarily. Well, hold on. If you're in striking.
Because they had the Rams pick.
Yes. And also, if you're in right now, that pick is at six. So right now, that may be a little far away. But
you could feasibly trade up for
that.
We've
seen teams with better record or better positioning, because it's weird, because it's not like the Lions are there because of bad records, because the Rams trade. We've seen teams like Kansas City and Buffalo shoot up the draft board to go get their guy.
With this year, too, you have the Bears.
The Bears are picking second.
Who are likely
going to
trade.
Fields. Yeah. So if I'm Chicago, where let's just play the scenario out. Houston, let's assume they hold on for the number one overall pick. They're taking a quarterback. Even though the Texans are a dumb organization, they can't be dumb enough to pass up on taking a quarterback. Do they get the right quarterback? I don't know. I would take Bryce Young.
The Bears smell blood in the water because the draft competition they can get back for only moving a few picks down.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And look at the teams that are right now heading into the final week of the season right behind them. Seattle is in at three. I know they like Geno Smith, but doesn't mean they have to go commit 4 or 5 years to Geno Smith moving on into the future. Then you have Arizona. They're not taking a quarterback because they just committed money to Kyler Murray, even though he'll be out for most of the next season. You have the Colts at five that may want to jump up to that two spot. You got the Lions at six, who could move up if they wanted to. You know, Carolina's at nine. They could move up. That Chicago pick, if you only have to go down a few slots, like ideally you would want to do the the reverse of the Trubisky trade. When you had that little reversal where the Bears had to come up to two, where you get Seattle to have to pay a little bit more than they probably would for only moving up one spot because other teams are interested, and you fall back to three, if you're Chicago, you get to pick either Jalen Carter or Will Anderson Jr.
Here's the problem, and I hear what you're saying, but Jared Goff is only 28 years old, which is in the prime of his career, and over the next 2 years, his cap hit is $25 and $26 million.
That's nothing.
For a starting quarterback at his age, where he's proven now he can play. He can play in an offense.
Yeah, but
is
he a franchise quarterback?
Is he not? I mean, he's going to trade. Zach, with the turbulence you've seen in that franchise in Detroit over the last decade plus, this guy's got them in going into Week 18 with a playoff position on the line. I mean— It's hard for me to sit here and say that Jared Goff has not played his way into a franchise quarterback position. I remember this, too.
Wait, no, hold on.
Time out.
He did
take the Rams to a Super Bowl.
Okay, fair.
He did. I mean,
how'd he play in that Super Bowl? I'm not saying Jared Goff.
There.
Hold on. I'm not saying Jared Goff is a trash quarterback. We're kind of on the same page here where he has showed this year he can be good. Just like Geno Smith, who showed this year he could be good. I don't know how sustainable this is. So, what you could do, you could get the best of both worlds. I know now. In the year of 2023, which we now have to say, you usually can't double dip when you take a quarterback that early and sit him.
Yeah.
But you have Goff on a contract that you don't have to do anything.
It's manageable.
Because if you do want to get rid of him, the dead cap's $10 million next year and then $5 million the year after that. Maybe you get a pick for him and you'll get your franchise quarterback in the future. Or you could continue to play Goff and have your young quarterback sit on the bench and learn.
If I'm the Lions, I go for it, though. You have the coach. You have offensive weapons. The offense has been awesome this year. You got Okuda on the outside on that defense. Pair him up with Hutchinson and another pass rusher.
Well, Hutchinson has been their best guy to go get interceptions.
But you have the elite corner and Okuda on the outside, too. You pair Hutchinson up with another pass rusher.
I don't know if Okuda's elite.
He's having
a solid season. His first 2 years, he was hurt and not so good.
But Hutchinson, pair him up with another pass rusher at the top of that draft. The Lions have an opportunity here to strike with a young quarterback. They're in a weird position because usually it's a veteran-type quarterback that you pair up with a young guy. Now, do you want to waste that draft pick when you have a chance to actually be successful with, again, look at that division. The Bears aren't going to be great. The Packers, even though they've surged lately, they could be moving on from Aaron Rodgers. They could be sort of entering a rebuild. The Vikings are the Vikings. There's a chance here for the Lions, who haven't been competitive in forever, with an actual competent quarterback here. That's a crazy debate. I get where you're coming from.
It's a gamble, but the upside is if you hit on your guy, if Stroud turns out to be elite or I think Young's would be one, but let's say if the Texans go with Stroud after the performance and then Young falls and you think that Bryce Young's going to be elite, I think you have to do the move.
But don't you hope?
No, but I don't think Jared Goff's elite. I don't think his ceiling is elite. His ceiling's good, and good may be good enough to go win.
To go to a Super Bowl.
But can I give you one more wrinkle into this?
Yeah.
If we really want to get crazy, you want to get crazy to start the new year?
Of course.
I never thought I would say this, but Detroit is now a good destination. I like their roster. Yeah. I like their coach. And I was skeptical of the coach going into this year. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I like DeAndre Swift. Yeah. I like Jamal Williams. I like Penei Sewell. I love Aiden Hutchinson.
And the defense has been improved all year.
How about the kid that they got in the sixth round this year who has 7.5, 8 sacks as well? They have some good pieces right now in Detroit.
You're not wrong.
If Lamar Jackson isn't happy in Baltimore, maybe you go trade for Lamar. It's not out of the realm of possibilities.
You're not wrong. My point, though, with the whole Goff thing is your point is always you want to try and win with the quarterback on the cheap contract, right? That's why if you draft a quarterback. So unless you're going to dump Goff and move on to Stroud in year one, because that's ideally when you have to win with these guys, you're not going to let Stroud sit for a year or two. You can't do that. But Goff's already on a manageable contract.
He's
already
a veteran player
for 2 more years. And according to what quarterbacks make now, I'm sorry, $25 million is extremely managed. That's cheap
Very
for a quarterback,
cheap.
Especially for the numbers Goff puts up. And I hear what you're saying. You don't watch Jared Goff and think stud. You don't mention him in the top 10 in the league.
But he's playing like a top 5 quarterback this year in the NFC.
That offense has been awesome all year.
It has.
He's been a top quarterback all year. And also, there's been years with L.A. I get it. We always credit McVay for it. There's been years with L.A. where also he looked awesome in that offense. And you know he has the arm talent. We know he has the size. And then you get a year like this from Goff where he's carried that team on offense. He's bowling out all year. And again, it's not like we haven't seen it. I know that Rams team was awesome, but he went to a Super Bowl,
damn it.
I mean, it's a hard argument for me where you have the opportunity up in the draft if you're Detroit where you can get a top-tier skill player or a quarterback. I think you go skill player.
You could always make a wrong decision. Clearly, if the player doesn't work out, everyone kills the decision.
Ask a Jet fan.
But I don't think Detroit, with whatever they do, if they take a quarterback in the first round, if they move up and go get their guy from six right now, if they go trade for someone, or if they keep Goff, I can't crush them for doing either of those three things, regardless of how it plays out, because I see the logic in all three.
Sure.
Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We will get to Jay and Lee on the other side. Also on the other side, do want to squeeze in a thought or two about the game coming up tonight between the Bills and the Bengals.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. The wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC and NFC championship games, the Pro Bowl games, and Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com. Via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I cannot wait for this game tonight between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals that comes your way at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Because I do think these are the best two teams in the AFC. Where I've been saying throughout the year, Bills 1, Bengals 2, and then the Kansas City Chiefs in at 3. Bills beat the Chiefs, Bengals beat the Chiefs. This is a game, though, where for Buffalo, it's massive for both sides, but I would say it's bigger for Buffalo because if you win the next two, you are in as the number one overall seed. And that means you get a bye, you win your division around game, you have an AFC title game in Buffalo. Who know what the elements will be, but that will just be a crazy scene. You know what? If the Bills, and I'm not a Bills fan, obviously, I'm a Patriot fan, but if the Bills are in the AFC title game in Buffalo, how do you not go to that game as a sports fan? Now, obviously, if you listen to this show, you know, two of my good friends from college, Deion Dawkins and Tyler Medikevich, are on the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to have to hit them up for tickets or maybe get a credential. That's probably the better move. Instead of hitting them up for tickets, I'll hit up Buffalo PR for a credential so I could be in a press box because I was at Buffalo last year for that disgusting wild card game. Patriots and Bills of the Patriots got destroyed, and it was like -2 degrees.
I don't know if I want to sit in the cold. I feel like you want that. That's the part of the experience.
No, I
makes the wings taste better afterwards.
I want to be there. Well, come on. You need them before the game, after the game, during the game. You need wings, and more wings. But I think the play would be you do the tailgating before the game.
For sure.
And then during the game.
Show up to the press box.
Close those windows in the press box.
Show up to the press box all liquored up. Run through a table in the press box.
Maybe it just may be better, actually.
If you need someone to join you at the game,
free. I've done a 180 in about 3 seconds, not just because you extended the invitation to maybe go.
For myself.
Or you tried to insert yourself into the conversation. But AFC-NFC title game, if my team's, you know, my team's obviously not going to be in it, even if they make the playoffs. If my team was, that's a different scenario. I would go. I would be there 110%. I think being on my couch, just doing nothing all day, having a few drinks,
yeah,
pigs in the blanket, get your own chicken wings, you know, do some cheesesteaks too, nachos, really, wow, just have a fat, gluttonous day.
Diet's going well.
It's a new year. I'm working out a ton. I've been working out a ton the last 3 years. The last 3 weeks I've been working out, but I've been eating like an absolute
animal.
Pig. Oh, from Thanksgiving, actually the last month, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, Hanukkah,
that's
into
a tough
the new
stretch.
Year.
That's a tough stretch.
It is a brutal stretch.
Yeah.
You just eat a disgusting amount of food. But anyway, to the point, I think it's probably better to just be at home, be warm, and then watch those games back to back. But Bills Bengals tonight, it's a little bit more important for Buffalo because Buffalo controls their own destiny. Now, Cincinnati, I know they beat the Chiefs, but if the Chiefs then win out, which is just one more game, they would then get the number one overall seed if they just win next week, which they will. So really, there's an outside chance the Bengals get the number one overall seed. So that's why this game is more important for Buffalo. But then on the other hand, if Cincinnati wins, I think the big take tomorrow is that a lot of people look at Cincinnati, who was in the Super Bowl last year. Now their offensive line playing better. Joe Burrow's a stud. That even if they don't have the number one overall seed, people will say Cincinnati's the best team in football.
Well, even with the start to their year, right? Everyone kind of wrote them off. I think at the start of the year, if I would have asked you in the preseason, who's the team you more likely think is going to have the Super Bowl hangover? Was it going to be the Rams or the Bengals?
A lot of people said the Bengals.
Exactly. And Joe Burrow is proven, Zach, and I don't think I'm stretching here at all. Joe Burrow's that dude.
Oh, yeah, like, we all know that.
Like, he's got a flair for the dramatic. He does not care. Like,
they haven't lost since Halloween.
Yeah, and do you, like, are you in fearful, like, again, to bring the gambling back into the conversation, are you at all in fear if you're going to bet on Joe Burrow going into a road stadium, home stadium in Mars, China, wherever they're playing a game? Would you care at all about betting on Joe Burrow? Does he need home field advantage to win a game?
So the first time, I've had one conversation with Joe Burrow. Well, it was over two different days, but when I was working for Sirius when he won the Heisman. So that day before, we got to spend like 30 minutes with him. And then the night he won, we got the only radio interview that night with Joe Burrow. He did the press conference right to myself and Jacob Hester, the former LSU player. And I left that day and we all knew how great of a season he was, but there's just an aura around him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not cocky.
The it factor.
But he's just so confident, and he's just so cool about it.
He's not He's not a jackass about it either. Like,
yeah.
He knows he's good, but he doesn't let everyone else know that he knows he's good.
Well, put it this way. You have Mahomes, who's great. Allen, who's great. Joe Burrow, who's great. One of those three are going to go to the Super Bowl.
And if for the next decade, maybe.
If it's not one of those three, and they're trending in the right direction now, if I had to pick another team, who would your fourth team be in the AFC if you had to pick?
Oh, it's full of stench, right? I mean, a couple weeks ago, you would have said maybe the Dolphins.
I think there's one clear team. I know that you're going to say same old Chargers. Chargers getting healthier, and Justin Herbert is that dude as
well. Yeah, and the other team that crossed my mind was if Baltimore gets Lamar back. Because there's always factor.
So I picked Baltimore to go to the Super Bowl before the year.
I
just don't trust them now. How many times we've seen this year them with a big lead and they just couldn't finish the game. That's what concerns me. And you're asking Lamar to come back, and I love Lamar.
But he's been out for a while now.
He's got to be knocking off a lot of rust.
Significant
855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Lee in San Diego. Next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Lee, go ahead.
Hey, Zach. How you doing, man?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
Well, first of all, thank you for mentioning the Chargers right there, and thanks for playing the Mike Williams and Austin Eckler calls, two of the best plays of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Hey, bro, I've lived in SD my whole life. I know the Chargers are, like, the most disrespected team in the league. I mean, I've been a fan since the 77-78 season, and so I've been through a lot, man. But there's something different about this team. They're getting healthy at the right time. And they're poised to make a run, I think. I think they're one of the top teams right now. I mean, they're hot. Their defense is coming together. They've been playing for the last 4 weeks. I mean, what do you think, man? I think this team has a chance this year.
I think if it's not Cincinnati, appreciate it, Lee, and thanks for the phone call. If it's not Cincinnati, if it is not Kansas City, if it's not Buffalo, then, yeah, I would say the Chargers are the next best team in the AFC. I do think in order right now, it would be number one, Buffalo, number two, Cincinnati. We'll see how that changes after tonight. Then three, Kansas City, then four, the Los Angeles Chargers. But right now, 4-5 would be Jacksonville against the Chargers. The playoffs would start tomorrow. I would pick the Chargers. And that'd be a heck of a quarterback matchup between Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. And then the next week in division round, if you get out of the first round, which they should in a 4-5 matchup, you then wait to see who they get. You probably would think that you'd go whoever the number one seed is in that scenario because the Bills, the Chargers, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals, whoever you want to order those teams 1, 2, and 3, it's probably leading towards a collision course 2 against 3, and then whoever's the one seed would end up getting the Chargers, and then you got to see. I just think it's a tough ask with how good they are to get 3 wins right now in the playoffs when you're going to have to play 2 out of the 3 to get to a Super Bowl in either Buffalo, Kansas City, or the Cincinnati Bengals. I just think there's too much, but we've seen crazier things happen. We talk about getting hot at the right time of the year. The Chargers are starting to get hot, and they have the quarterback, and now it's about working on all the other guys that they've been missing out on. One thing's clear, Brandon Staley will be back next year. They're in the playoffs. A lot of people thought Sean Payton was going to be the next head coach. I do think Brandon Staley will be back because what he's done this year holding that team together. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio turns 10 today. When we come on back, we have a blast from the past. You do not want to miss this special name that's going to be joining us. Coming on back next.
Shake it up.